The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" And He's also said, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted?" Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is that the Almighty Creator desires friends. And this program is about sharing what I've learned as being necessary to become a friend of the Creator. And I encourage you to journey with me, to listen to what I have to say. There's many writings that I can share with you. I'll give you the link shortly. And just rethink your plan for the rest of your life. Ask yourself, do you want to be rejected at the end of your life? Or do you want to spend eternity in heaven on a high throne with great acclamation, great honor, great esteem, great authority, great power? To me, it's no contest. I encourage you to join me on this journey. So tonight's program is entitled, "Who Exactly Is Yeshua?" That's Jesus. Well, there's a lot of confusion. Jews say he was only a prophet, and some of them dispute his existence. Muslims say he was a special prophet and only a prophet. Some Christians are not sure. And many Christians believe that Jesus is God and was the Almighty in the flesh. So what is the truth? We will examine this in some detail in this program. In doing so, I'd like to stress that the being, the man, that is widely called Jesus, was not named Jesus. He was a Hebrew, a Jew, and his true name was Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. I will seek to share with you in the next three quarters of an hour a variety of information that will help you to understand what I'm saying. So who am I? My name's James Robertson. I have a doctorate degree in engineering, in geotechnical engineering. I've spent much of my career as a management consultant, consulting with regard to the strategic application of big business information systems. More recently, I've become the chief operating officer of a small group of companies. And so my day job is the running of those companies. Aside from that, in 1993, I had an experience where, in a pretty desperate situation, the Almighty spoke to me audibly in the same way that I'm speaking to you, as clearly as I'm speaking to you now. And I realized that my life was a mess, that I had completely gone away from serving the Almighty, and that I needed to course correct. So I've spent the last 25 years, 25 and a half years, adjusting my life, seeking to know the one who spoke to me that day, seeking to help others to know that one. As an engineer by training, my thought processes, my problem solving, my inquiry is very rigorous, very robust. And when I realized that I'd taken the wrong turning and I came back to serving the Almighty, I concluded that he would not want me to compromise my engineering methods. And so I've applied those methods of seeking truth to come to learn about him. And in that process, I've learned many things that are not known to most people. So what is End Time Issue Ministries? End Time Issue Ministries is the part-time after-hours ministry that I run. My life, which is pretty much my life's work, spend some time on this just about every day. Spend most Sabbaths, most Saturdays on it. I publish regular articles. I'm in the process of collating all my writings into a collection of 13 books. And End Time Issue Ministries is the vehicle for delivering that. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It's geared to sensitizing you to the fact that the Almighty wants a deep personal relationship with you and helping you to make that decision and journey the right road with that decision. I have a website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, which you can visit for more information. There is about 700 pages on that site and a whole lot of articles answering a wide diversity of questions. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org, endtimeissueministries.org. Please visit the site, and I'm sure you'll find answers to a lot of your questions. Few questions from last week's program. What is this world coming to these days? And a similar one, what is this world coming to? Well, what is the world is coming to is that it's either going to end up in a pretty disastrous situation, or there's going to be a turning around. And the fact of the matter is that the number of true believers on the planet is very small. The number of people who really in deep relationship with the Almighty is minute, and so their influence and their impact on the world is next to nothing. So the probability is we're going to have more wars, we're going to have things are going to continue pretty much the way they are, but they will probably deteriorate and degrade over time. And you have a choice whether you get sucked into that or whether you choose to live your life differently and take a view on where you'll spend eternity. The other question, so how do you know that if you fit together perfectly? That relates to a comment I made regarding sexual intercourse. Well, the fact of the matter that pretty much any man and pretty much any woman can engage in sexual intercourse pleasurably is the point that I was making. It would be pretty difficult to put a square peg into a round hole, for example, if you forgive the metaphor. We do fit together perfectly, some better than others, but we do fit. And the fact that we don't fit together perfectly is a reflection of the degradation of humankind that has taken place in the last 6,000 years. Please submit questions during the program, and I will answer them next week. So who exactly is Yeshua or Jesus? Well, right now, he's the most powerful created being in the universe. And I will talk more about this later, but as a result of what he accomplished when he was on Earth, he became the most powerful being, the king of all human kings, the lord of all human lords. He is the agent of the Almighty in numerous ways. Yeshua is not the Almighty in the flesh. In other words, Yeshua is not God. Jesus is not God. He was and is a prophet. In other words, a human spokesman for the Almighty. He is an overcomer. He overcame sin and he overcame the things that happened to him in this life, including the horrible death that he died. And he is most definitely a friend of the Almighty. He is a trusted confidant and friend of the Almighty. So let's look a little bit at the overall context of how Yeshua got to be that way. The first thing to understand is that all authority on earth was given to the sons of Adam. When the Almighty created Adam, he said, have dominion over the creation, over the animals, over the fish, over the birds, and, although it's not made explicit, over the satanic fallen messengers, fallen angels that had been cast down onto earth. Adam sinned. He disobeyed the commandment of the Almighty, who told him not to eat the fruit of a certain tree. Doesn't matter what the nature of the fruit was. Doesn't actually really matter whether it was a tree, and doesn't really matter whether it was fruit. The fact of the matter is that the Almighty said, you can do pretty much anything you want to, but do not do this. Do not eat the fruit of this tree. And Adam and his wife Chava disobeyed. They ate the fruit. And because of that, they sinned, and they did this at the leading of the temptation of Satan, and therefore they became servants of Satan, because who a man obeys, that is his master. And he disobeyed the Almighty. And thus, in so doing, Adam gave authority to Satan. But because of the rules of engagement of the contest between the Almighty and Satan, Satan had to work through human beings. So everything that happens on earth is spiritually, physically, is a manifestation of the words and the actions of human beings. So the world is in the mess it is in because we, human beings, made it that way. We've had 6,000 years of listening to Satan, and we've made a pretty big mess of the world. So blaming the Almighty for the wars and the illness and the disease and the strife and the lies and the deceit and the inequalities and everything else that people blame the Almighty for is just out of line. It's not true. Let's talk a bit about the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you may not have heard of the Ark of the Covenant. There have been movies made about the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Grail, various things like that. It's a chest, gold embellished chest that was built by a man called Moses or Moshe, and the Hebrews who in the wilderness in Sinai in Saudi Arabia, who fled from Egypt about 1,000 years before the time of Yeshua, so about 3,000 years ago. This Ark of the Covenant traveled with the Hebrews in their journeys until they eventually settled in the land that became known as Israel, named after the father of the Israeli people. And it formed the basis of the Temple of Solomon. It was placed in the middle of the temple in the Holy of Holies. About 600 years before Yeshua, so about 2,600 years ago, the Babylonian Empire was attacking Jerusalem. And just before Jerusalem fell, Jeremiah, his name means whom Yah has appointed, and some other men took the Ark of the Covenant and they hid it in a cave outside the walls of Jerusalem under a crag called Golgotha, which was to become an execution site. They didn't know that. They just went through a network of caves under the temple and hid the Ark of the Covenant and bricked up the entrance to the cave. It just turns out that 600 years later, this was exactly under the place where Yeshua died, or if you like, Yeshua died exactly over the Ark of the Covenant. This has great symbolism and great meaning, and I'll explain that later. It's important to understand that Yeshua died on a stake and not a cross. The Greek word that is translated cross in most New Testaments means it's stake. The Greek word is staros, a vertical piece of tree trunk. Hanging on a stake was mandated as a form of execution through Moses many, many years before that. And the cross is an ankh. It's a pagan, that is a satanic symbol. It's actually a representation of a woman with her legs spread and penetrated by a penis. Highly offensive, actually. But if you don't realize that the cross is actually an offensive pagan symbol, you may be wearing one, you may have them around your house, you may have it on your documents. I once had it on my business card. Yeshua died on a stake where he was suspended vertically, his hands nailed together above his head, his feet nailed together underneath him. He did not die on a cross. God is not a valid religious name in the context of what I'm talking about. The word translated God is Elohim. Elohim literally means mighty one. When used in the context of the Creator, it means almighty. God is a pagan, that is a satanic name, and it should never be used in the context of the Almighty Creator. It's highly offensive to him, and it leads to a lot of confusion. The use of the word God is widespread right around the world. It's a convenient label that has fallen into common usage by many, many language groups. And that is a reflection of the fact that the forces of darkness, the satanic horde, the demonic masterminds have manipulated things that we think it's okay to call the Almighty God. It's not all right. It's not acceptable. It's highly displeasing to him. If you want to be his friend, then don't call him God. Technically, Yeshua is a God in the sense that he is a mighty one. In fact, as I said earlier, he's a very powerful mighty one. But he is not the God, in other words, the Almighty. So you can, if you really want to, you can technically call Yeshua God because he's a mighty one, but he is not the Almighty. And one of the reasons why there's so much confusion about who Yeshua is, as I alluded to at the beginning of this program, is through the use of the word God and its mistaken understandings. The word Christ refers to the anointing, in other words, the Spirit of the Almighty on a person. So the word Christ means anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty. The anointed one, or Christ, also means one, an anointed one, one anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty. So Yeshua and any anointed one is a Christ. The anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty that was upon Yeshua, typically rendered in the Bible as Christ Jesus, and anointed with the Spirit of the Almighty being Jesus Christ, Yeshua the anointed of Yah. An anointed one is sometimes referred to in some writings as a saint. Simply means somebody filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, and it refers to the fact that in earlier times, people were anointed to such an extent that there was a glow, a halo, an aura around them. Something that doesn't really happen today. Mankind is degraded to such an extent that even the anointed ones are pretty feeble and really don't accomplish very much in the service of the Almighty. So coming back to Christ, I'm James, the anointed of Yah, as is every believer filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. So to that end, you could refer to me as James Christ, exactly the same as you refer to Jesus Christ or Yeshua Christ. But fundamentally, Christ is a meaningless English word that is bears no relation to the Hebrew, which refers to the anointing of Yah. And anyway, doing even Messiah is a wrong word. It's a technical term, anointed with the Spirit of Yah. That's all there is to it. Nothing more, nothing less. Christ is not a pseudonym for Yeshua. Christ refers to Yah, the Almighty, most of the time. It refers to Yeshua some of the time when it's just referring to the Anointed One in the context of Yeshua. But Yeshua is not Yah. And I can't stress this enough. The first commandment is Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, is one mighty one. You shall have no mighty ones beside him. Or the Lord your God is one God, you shall have no gods beside him. It's a commandment. If you want to be his friend, you just don't do that. Don't worship Yeshua or worship Jesus. I've mentioned already that the name of the man in question is Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, not Jesus. I discussed this in some detail on a previous program. In the Old Testament, the word translated Jesus in the New Testament is translated Joshua, but the accurate transliteration of the Hebrew is Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. It's important to recognize that this is a common name in those days. Many people seem to think that when the Almighty told Mary, to call her son Yahushua, Jesus, that was some special, out-of-the-ordinary, once-off name. But the whole objective of the exercise was for Yahushua to lie low and not attract the attention of the satanic forces until such time as it was time for him to go into ministry. The name Yah is salvation speaks to the role that Yeshua was to play to become a medium of salvation for those people who followed the Almighty. It's also important to recognize that Jesus means blessed of Zeus. Jesus is a pagan, that is, satanic name, meaning blessed of Zeus. Zeus is the name of a powerful Greek demonic power. When I say a demonic power, it's a demon who, through human sacrifice, corruption of human beings, killing, stealing, and destroying, has got to a position of really high authority in the satanic realm, one of the demonic masterminds that actually rules the earth in the absence of Satan and is responsible for the mess that the world is in. Zeus was originally a pseudonym for the Almighty, as the Greek people sort of fell away from the Almighty, but it became corrupted over time and became a satanic alias, if you like. Zeus was adopted, or blessed of Zeus, Jesus, Iesus, was adopted by Greek believers because of persecution, and they did that to make out that they were actually worshipping Zeus and not the mighty one of the Hebrews. There was great hatred for the Hebrews and the Jews, just as there is certain quarters today. And so it was very difficult for the Greek believers to worship the true names, and so they made these substitutions, and that's where Jesus comes from. But fundamentally, if you want to be a friend of the Almighty, if you want to be a friend of Yeshua, don't call Yeshua Jesus, call him Yeshua. I want to make the distinction between the set-apart Spirit versus the Holy Spirit. Common usage refers to the Holy Spirit. holy is again a meaningless English religious word. The correct translation of the Hebrew Kodesh is set apart spirit. So the set apart spirit is the portion of the spirit of the Almighty that is set apart for those who truly believe in him and invite him to live in them. So if you have got to a point where you've been immersed in water and you've prayed something along the lines of, Father, I ask you to live in me, I ask you to put your spirit upon me and ask for your spirit to live within me, then you have the spirit of the Almighty in you, and that is the set apart spirit, the portion of the spirit that is set apart for those who truly believe in and love the Almighty. If you want to be a friend of the Almighty, you need to get filled with the set apart spirit. This is distinct from the universal of the spirit in whom we live and move and have our being. So there's some people who are sensitive to the spirit of the Almighty, and they're aware of the spirit of the Almighty in everything. They see the spirit of the Almighty in the sunrise. They see the spirit of the Almighty in the plants and the flowers, in the birds, in the animals, in every facet of life. And it is absolutely true that the Almighty is in all of those things. And it is also true that if the Almighty were to remove his spirit from earth, all of the living things would die and collapse, and we would be left here with a dead shell of rocks and rubble about 100 million demons who would have nowhere else to go, and all of the – sorry, did I say 100 million? 100 billion demons with nowhere else to go, and some billions of satanic messengers, angels, also with nowhere else to go. Pretty miserable existence. So if you're not a believer and you don't want to end up like that, I suggest that you turn around and pray and ask the Almighty to help you to come to know him. There are a number of documents at the end of this broadcast that I'll tell you about that will help you with that. Yeshua was a Lord, but not the Lord. The Lord, with Lord in capital letters, is a completely inaccurate translation of the Hebrew phrase Yahweh, meaning Yah, the eternally self-existing. Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, the pagan, that is, satanic deity and demonic mastermind. Do not call the Almighty Lord if you really love him, and certainly not if you want to become his friend. Yeshua was a Lord in the human sense and is referred to that way repeatedly in the New Testament, but this is a distinctly different Lord to the Lord, as a wrong translation of Yahweh. Yeshua is a human Lord, but he is not the Almighty. This ambiguity and lack of clarity regarding the words that are commonly used to describe the Almighty and Yeshua is another source of the confusion about who Yeshua really is. People think that this indicates that Yeshua and Yah are the same being. So we see that Lord and Christ confuse Jesus as God. The incorrect translation of Yahweh as the Lord and reference to Yeshua, Jesus, as the Lord causes confusion. They're two different entities, and it leads to people thinking that Jesus is God. The incorrect translation of Christ and incorrect usage of Christ makes Yeshua synonymous with the Spirit of the Almighty and adds to the confusion. The incorrect translation of Elohim as God instead of Mighty One further compounds the error. And so we see a very widespread error, which is the belief that Jesus is God. Yeshua is not the Almighty in the flesh. He is a distinct created being. And if he had been in the Almighty in the flesh when he came to earth, it would have been a complete fraud. He would have had no authority. He could not have accomplished anything that he accomplished. He could only accomplish that because he was 100% a human being. And I really urge you to explore this There is a page on your shirt. Well, there's a whole set of pages on your shirt on the website. There's a menu item on the top menu called your shirt. Drill down into that. There's a large number of articles which explore this topic from a wide diversity of angles. So what did Yeshua really do? Well, first of all, he was miraculously born of a virgin without male human involvement. What's important about this is to understand that that miracle was nowhere near as great as the miracle associated with the creation of Adam and Eve, or Chava is her correct name. Adam was created from dust, and his first wife Lilith was created from dust, just in the same way that everything else came into existence. Chava was created from the rib of Adam, and so Yeshua was created from a female egg without the sperm, without the male gamete to fertilize it. So miraculous, but nowhere near as miraculous as the birth of Adam. And therefore, it's completely wrong to believe that because of the virgin birth, Yeshua is in some way the Almighty. Yeshua was filled with the Spirit of the Almighty at the age of 30 when he was immersed. And he lost the Spirit just before he died, so that he died without the succor of the Almighty. That's why he cried out, "My beloved Mighty One, my beloved Mighty One, why have you forsaken me?" Yeshua was born a Yehudite, a Jew, and he came for the Yehudite people to lead them back to the Almighty. He lived his entire life, including dying a terrible and tormented death, without sinning even once. He was filled with the Spirit of the Almighty and became anointed by Yah, Christ, when Yahuchanan, the immerser, John the Baptist, immersed him. Yahuchanan means Yah has graced. So it's an important point that you see that if you use the correct names, there's a whole new dimension of understanding that becomes opened up to you. Yeshua performed miracles, he taught, and he prophesied. Important to understand that Yeshua went out of his way. He intentionally antagonized the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the rulers of the Hebrew people. From the moment that he started his ministry at the age of 30 to the time that he died that terrible death at the age of 33 and a half, Yeshua deliberately set out to get the chief priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of the Hebrew people to call for his death, knowing that he would die the way he died. So many people don't understand this. They get offended with the fact that the Jews and the Romans killed Jesus. Not so. Yah and Yeshua, before Yeshua came to earth, deliberately purposed that he would die that way. It was planned hundreds, if not thousands, of years earlier, and was certainly the plan at the time that the Ark of the Covenant was placed in that cave under the execution site. Important to understand also that if Yeshua had not been put to death the way that he did on the stake, that terrible torture, flogging, agony, his entire mission would have been a failure. He came to die. His agreement with the Almighty was that he would come to earth and die the way he did, live a life without sin, die without sinning, and that would give him great authority and power, because he would be the first human being to live without sin, and that would make him the king of all human kings and lord of all human lords. Because he'd lived a life without sin, he was instantly resurrected, The fact that he didn't appear to those who followed him for 3 years doesn't mean he was in the grave for 3 years, the way that many people believe. He went down and preached to the angels that were in detention because of the sin, and then he came up. Death had no hold on him because he was without sin. So he got to the gates of hell, of death, and death said, "You can't come in here, you don't have any sin." So where is Yeshua now? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. That's a really important statement. It occurs in a number of places in the Bible. Yeshua is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Folks, if you're a believer, Yeshua is waiting for you and me to work with the Almighty to bring his enemies into subjection. Yeshua is not going to return to this earth the way people are believing until his enemies have been made his footstool. And if his enemies are never made his footstool, he will never return. All authority in heaven and earth was given to Yeshua because of his obedience and his sinless life. And he gave that authority to those who follow him. So if you are a believer who has a relationship with the Almighty, trusting in the name of Yeshua, you have great authority over the forces of darkness. Yeshua is also our advocate in the court of heaven, and he pleads for mercy when we sin unwittingly or naively, and particularly for young believers. That's a whole discussion in its own right, and hopefully one of these days I'll give a teaching on judgment in this life. Yeshua is the most powerful created being in the universe because of what he did. Because he lived a sinless life, he was given the highest throne in heaven, the greatest authority, the greatest power of anybody in heaven. If you overcome sin, live a life without sin for the rest of your life, and it's up and down, and you're not going to get it right all the time initially, you have the possibility of sitting on a very high throne and being almost as powerful as Yeshua and having almost as much authority as Yeshua. Yeshua may return in around the year 3003, that is 985 years from now, if there's a human being serving Father and free of sin to call for his return. Yeshua was born, the firstborn of creation. He was, when the Almighty started creating, Yeshua was the first spirit being that he created. And he helped the Almighty throughout the creation process. So he knew exactly what he was up against, what waited for him. He understood Satan, and because of that, he could live without sin. He was born of a virgin, therefore there were no inherited bloodline curses because he had no bloodline, so it was possible to live without sin. He was a son of Adam, as are all human beings, so he had authority on earth and he could do what he did here. And he was a son of the Almighty, created in the image of the Almighty, as are all human beings who follow the Almighty and are obedient to the Almighty. Really important to understand that there was no magic in what Yeshua accomplished. It was all grit and determination on his part, and there's absolutely no reason why you or I cannot choose to live without sin and serve the Almighty faithfully for the rest of our lives. And if we do, we will be amply rewarded. Continuing how he achieved this, he became king of human kings because men with authority, King Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, proclaimed him king. Nothing magic about it. He was brought before them, tried against the charges of the high priests, etc., and mockingly proclaimed king. But the fact of the matter is men with authority proclaimed him king, so he became king. Because the Almighty is strictly legal. He works on the basis of what is said. And our words carry heavy weight. He became an offering for sin because he was prophetically declared to be the Lamb of the Almighty when he was immersed by Yehuchanan, and because he assigned the bread and wine to his body and blood at the final meal with his followers. His name Yeshua means Yah is salvation, and this defines Yeshua's role and why his name is above all names. Again, there's no magic. There's nothing about Yeshua which magically means that his name is above all names. There's nothing magical about the name Yeshua. More importantly, there's nothing magical about the name Jesus. Jesus is an abomination, actually. Yah is salvation. That's what you say every time you refer to Yahshua, and the salvation of the Almighty is the highest thing that there is. That's why the name Yeshua is the name above all names. Continuing with how did he achieve all of this? Men laid their hands on him and they beat him and thereby transferred their sin to him. In addition, the Jews, when they brought Yeshua to Pilate, shouted out, "His blood be upon us." And by putting his blood upon themselves, they put the blood of the covenant, the new covenant, on themselves, and therefore gave them and their descendants potential access to that covenant, to that deliverance, to that salvation. He was taken outside the city gates, and therefore he became the goat of atonement of Azazel. One way that the Almighty provided for taking the sin of the people. He was hung on a tree, and thereby he became a curse for us. There's a verse in the Bible which says that cursed is he who hangs on a tree. And therefore, by prayer in the name of Yeshua, you can get free of curses that have been spoken against us. And again, above all, Yeshua showed us that it was possible to live a sinless life and showed us the way to relationship with the Almighty. Now, living a sinless life is not trivial. It requires major course correction and major adjustment. It certainly did in my life. And there's a lot of material on the website to help you. Fundamentally, the sin we're talking about in the first instance is breaking the Ten Commandments. And then beyond that, just the way you live your life, how you focus your life. Ultimately, the question is, do you want to just live this life any old way and get a nasty shock when you die? Or do you want to live this life in such a way that when you die, the Almighty says to you, "Come up higher, my good and faithful servant," and puts you on a high throne for eternity? I know what I would prefer. Continuing how Yeshua achieved all he achieved, the execution site was exactly above the Ark of the Covenant, hidden by Jeremiah. This indicates profound long-term planning by Yah and the exact guidance of men by Yah to excavate the cavern under the execution site, or put the execution site directly over the cavern. It doesn't matter really which way around it happened, to put the ark in that particular cavern. There was a whole network of caves, and to have Yeshua put to death literally exactly vertically above the Ark of the Covenant. Then as he died, an earthquake opened a crack in the ground from the foot of the execution stake to the lid of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, actually in the rock. The Roman soldier pierced Yeshua's side with a spear, allowing water and blood to drain out and run down the stake and down the crack and down the and onto the mercy seat, thereby making Yeshua high priest. So again, Yeshua didn't become high priest because of some magical ritual. He became high priest because he complied with the ritual set out by Moses that the blood of the offering should be sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. So what's the essence of Yeshua? He lived a life without sin to make it possible for us to do the same. He ascended to the highest throne that there is in heaven. He became the most powerful created being, which is why many people who see him or meet him are confused into believing he is the creator when he is not. Prayer in the name of Yeshua is powerful and effective if you know what you're doing. There's a whole range of situations where prayer in the name of Yeshua is inappropriate. The Almighty wants you to have a deep personal relationship with him. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to confide in him. He wants you to ask his opinion. He wants you to listen to him. If you can't hear the voice of the Almighty, you're not going to become his friend. You've got to learn to hear his voice. You've got to learn to converse with him. So why do we pray in the name of Yeshua? We pray in the name of Yeshua when we are taking authority over the forces of darkness. So I bind every demonic spirit that is in hearing of this message and has no legal authority to be where they are. In the name of Yeshua, I bind you and I command you to go where Father Yah sends you. Father, I ask you in the name of Yeshua to bind every spirit that I've just named and send them where you want them to go. That is effective prayer in the name of Yeshua. Father, I ask you to cut off every curse that's been spoken against me in the name of Yeshua. It's vital to understand who Yeshua is and who he is not in order to get to a deep personal relationship with the Almighty and become his friend. You cannot worship Jesus and be a friend of the Almighty. Worship the Almighty alone. There are four key documents on the website behind the home menu item in the top left-hand corner. One is called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. That sets out the headlines of the message that I've shared with you over the last few weeks. Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator is a document of about 70 pages, which sets out all sorts of practices, processes, prayers, and things that you can do to clean up your life and get close to Him. And I guarantee you that if you faithfully and by faith apply those teachings for a period of at least 2 years with the recommended fasting, the recommended worship, etc., you will get to a point in 2 to 3 years where you are starting to hear the Almighty clearly, starting to know his ways and starting to serve. But you have to do it by faith. You have to do it faithfully, and you have to exercise discipline. You need to spend time every day on your knees talking to him, praying to him. Get flat on your face if necessary, if that's what it takes to hear him. Do what it takes to do. Do the fasts. It's not a trivial exercise. It's a big thing. If you really want to become a friend of the Almighty, because he's not looking for people who are going to give him a second-rate deal. Third document is the Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. This goes into the names, some of the names that I've used. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All of this available at www.endtimeissueministries.org behind the home page. Books of teachings and mailing list are available at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. So thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next week. Please email me to join the mailing list. I'm compiling a collection of my writings, 7 volumes, 13 books of about 600 pages each. Email me if you would like to obtain a copy. The first volume is the most important writings, including those that I've just listed. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Almighty. I can't stress enough that becoming a friend of the Almighty is the most important reason to live your life. That is why we are here. That is what we're here to do. It's available to anyone. If you're listening to this message right now, it is absolutely possible for you to become a friend of the Almighty. It's going to take hard work. Get the articles that I've just referred to, download them. If you hover your mouse over the top left-hand corner of the website page, the home icon, you will see that the articles behind that, you can download them as PDFs. Really get into those, apply them. Contact me. I'll send you all of 13 of the books, something like 4,000 pages of my teachings over the last 20 years that will help you on this journey. It's entirely possible, and I encourage you to do it. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you again next Friday. Good day.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because